Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has so much to say. Many wonderful things does He have to say to His people. He loves us all. He loves His people so much. Now, the Lord favors, His favor is on those who share His love, who are people of covenant, people who made Jesus their Lord. He loves everybody. He loves everybody just like He loved Jesus, because He told us to love others as Jesus loves us. And remember, Jesus died for us when we were on the run. You know, we put out when Adam put those fig leaves on, and he's running from the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day, we were in His loins. You know, from the fallen, because of the fall, it was in our DNA to run from the Lord, and the Lord knew this. That's why Isaiah 11 says that we are, you know, I just read it. I don't want to mess it up. It says, verse 1, Isaiah 11, verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. We hear it from the Lord. But the Lord set Jesus up to help us out, to do what we can't do for ourselves. And He don't look at our condition. He don't look at what we've become. He looks at us with eyes of love, covenant eyes, full of love, full of the mercy of God. And He wants us to know Him. You know, but man was on the run from the Lord. And Jesus came in, he came and died for us, knowing the condition we were in. Again, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, that we should see him, that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now watch verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Yet Jesus could see, not by the seeing of the eyes, the hearing of the ears, but with righteous judgments. He judges us. And guess what? Many people believed and walk with him. Let's continue. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I remember my days as a sinner. I could sin and go to bed and not think much of it. But when I saw how my parents lived, and I heard the things of Jesus, as I grew to understand it, my cousin helped break it down for me. Because the enemy, as a parent, you have to break things down for children to understand. Now my parents, they tried to spare me from sin. but I was a sinner. We're born into it. So I think their strategy was to wait till I was a little older. But my cousin explained why Jesus had to die for us. And I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't want to go to hell. I believed in heaven and I believed in hell. I believed in Jesus. But I was not a Christian yet in those days. So when I got about almost 20 years old, I became a real Christian. Not just those lay me down to sleep prayers. I wanted to go to heaven, but I wasn't living right, so I wasn't going. So when the Lord saved me, then I knew the difference. Now watch this. See, God is a God of covenant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. And here it is again in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, out of the for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, I want to, we'll stop there in chapter 53, and I'm going to go back to Jeremiah, the chapter that the Lord gave me, Jeremiah 10. We'll get back to it. Now, God is moving by his spirit. He's doing things to further our redemption in him. Jesus wants us to go forward and learn. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, when we follow on to know the Lord, that's when we really get somewhere. When we believe on Jesus, we're given faith. We're given a new spirit, and we're able to bear fruit. Now, as we receive his word, we're able to bear more fruit. The Lord will purge us and we'll bear more fruit. He'll take us and teach us and help us to grow from glory to glory. Now, with all that being said, I want to go back to Jeremiah chapter 10. See, the Lord, people who once knew these things, they got off track. Now, Jesus was something that they didn't know yet. He was still a mystery to the Old Testament mind. Even the prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, they prophesied these things, but they didn't, you know, Isaiah just prophesied all those wonderful things about Jesus, but he didn't understand it. But the 70 who returned in Luke chapter 10, they experienced it. And guess what Jesus said? Many kings and prophets have desired to see what you see and did not see it. And then Jesus rejoiced because he revealed it to babes. Now, we're getting somewhere. There are so many ways you got to break through. The enemy wants to control the narrative, even though he's lying. So, when I was a child, I wanted to know. Now, God put this in my heart, because as far back as I can remember, I wanted to know how things got to this point. I'm a mechanic by trade. I like to know how things work. But I also, not just cars, trucks, and motorcycles, I want to know how people work. And I want to know how God works and how things got to this point. So when I found out that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, I started asking questions. Now, as a child, all the adults in my life, I would ask them questions. And Miss Fowler would come outside to dry her clothes. She would hang them up in the backyard to dry her clothes. And I would wait till she would go out there to hang clothes on the clothesline. Back in the 60s, a lot of people did that. And then I would go out there and ask her, bombard her with all my questions. Why do planes fly? Why? How come they don't thump? You know, all kind of questions. And that's something God put in me. I sincerely want to know how things got to this point. So when I ask the Holy Spirit, when I ask him questions, he reveals things. See, he revealed things to babe, people that just want to know him. I told my wife last week that the Lord is a person. You got to get to know him as a person. He is a person. He's one. We're made in his image. He has a spirit, soul, and body. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. The Father is who we get redeemed. We're redeemed. Jesus joined the Father's hand and man's hand and put us back together. So through Christ, we can have a relationship with the Lord. And we have access to all knowledge that we want to know. And I, believe me, I stopped counting how many questions the Lord answered for me. I would ask questions and he would answer me. I would ask questions. It just goes on and on. He's been teaching me things. But the things that I put on the top shelf, things that's most important, what I mean by the top shelf, that's what's most important to me. Those are the things when the word of the Lord come to me saying something. Now, the Lord wants to reveal himself to people. I walk around enjoying a strong relationship with the Lord and learning from him. And I look out and see in life and I see people struggling. And just like I put myself in the position that if I didn't know the Lord, I would want to know what I found out about him. I would want to know about salvation. If I didn't have salvation, I would desire that somebody would help me see God. When the Lord taught me to love people, I learned more from the Lord in that season than I ever have. It put me on the right track. And I learned some things that I just really, David wrote about the secret place in Psalm 91. I ran into it. I learned things from the Holy Spirit. Beautiful things. And when I get bad news, I'm not afraid of sudden fear. I've experienced many things. I walk in a peace that you can reach out and touch. I mean, I feel the joy of the Lord and his peace. I never feel alone. And I desire for other people to know it. Now, this is where I wanted to get to. The enemy know that most people would rather know God. So he had to do something to stop this. Imagine the day of Acts when Peter said that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That about threw Satan into a tailspin. And all the people that he had deceived with his religious deception and the culture of the day, it just blew that religious mind. Nobody would listen to my sons and daughters prophesy. Only the priest and the king and the prophet could do that. And then he turned around and said, your servants, your sons and daughters and your servants and maid servants. Now that really blew their mind when he said maid servants. Because in those days, they didn't want to listen to a woman. But when you listen to Deborah in the Judges, and the song that she sang is full of prophecy, folks. Don't discount women. I don't do that. Women can do whatever God wants them to do. And if you disqualify them, you're messing up. You're backing up. But, the sons and daughters, servants and maidservants would prophesy. That was the heart of God all alone. And he had to hide it from the proud. Because proud people, see, pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord. I just looked at that. I wrote that a few days last week. And I wrote it on paper. When God give me a good thought like that, I try to write it down. And if I always write it in my heart, but when it's something that's new to me, I write it on paper too, so I can share it with others. Now, the proud mind, it don't register like that. So the devil had to figure out a way to gain control. See, pride never disapproves itself. So Satan don't disapprove himself. He try to hide the light. That's what he's doing. Now, the Lord is way ahead of Satan. He's way ahead of the world. He's way ahead of the proud. And the Lord, that's why it's so important to be sincere in the Lord, because the Lord is using people who love him to reveal himself through them. He set us up. He said, let your light shine. You're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. The city set on the hill cannot be hid. So, now watch this. I love verse 9 and 10. This is 1 Corinthians 2. And this is Paul speaking. He's the writer of it. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, listen good, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did. And even the priest. And, you know, Perry Stone pointed out that the high priest is the one that hit Jesus. And just like they would the, I don't want to mess it up. I think the scapegoat, they hit him. You know, they slapped Jesus. But they played right into the Lord's hand. The Lord was laying his life down to redeem us. And the proud mind didn't see it coming. I'm going to read verse 8 again. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The enemy would have backed off. He would have said, don't bother Jesus. Leave him like he didn't know. See, a proud man, a proud mind, can't be generous. That's not a concept that Satan has. He didn't know that once Jesus died for us, all of us would be just like Jesus. And then we have the ability. See, God set us up, whether you do it or not, whether you never do it or whether you do, God set you up to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Every believer, if they will train and be humble to God like a babe and trust the Lord and obey him, they can learn anything by the Holy Ghost, and they can fully overcome in their life. Not only for their sake, but for others. Not only that, a person that's a babe, see, that's a person that's so humble to God and they will obey him. They don't let God's word fall to the ground. If God give them something to do, they want to do it. There's no reluctance in them. Now, people of that caliber, and every Christian can be this way. They can learn how to function by the kingdom of God if they choose to. And they need good leadership to do it. Not discouraging leadership. Not satanic leadership. I talked last week about how covenant ears. Sometimes people hear God's word with Satan's ears. Or they hear God's word and with Satan's earbuds playing. See, the religious mind don't think about generosity. The high priest didn't. Satan didn't. The fallen angels surely didn't. The demons don't. Wicked men can't. And even the king, King Herod, they didn't think of the love of God. They underestimated it. They thought it was for little children. They thought it was for stupid people. That's how pride thinks. Pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord. So Satan and all of his concepts, they couldn't see the common people operating by the Holy Ghost, like the prophet Samuel or Elijah or Elisha. One time Moses told Joshua, they're down there, Joshua told Moses, they're down there prophesying. Moses told Joshua, don't be jealous for me. I wish they all prophesied. Then the prophet Joel said, now this is the the funny part is, but Joel said it in his day, and they had record of it. When Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, they knew what he was talking about, and they still didn't see it. They were blind as a bat with his eyes knocked out. They didn't see it. So now you got Peter prophesy in the boldness, and he didn't expect that from the fisherman who was with Jesus. When Satan got up off the ground after he had fainted and heard him talking like this, he's just like Jesus. We got to stop this. So Satan, his strategy was always to stir up people that thought like he does, just like he do today, in order to control the narrative. He still wants to control the narrative, and he can't. So in order to appeal, to make his dead logic look alive, he has to do something about the light. He has to get people that walk in the light, since he can't stop them if he really wanted. No matter how much he wants to, he can't stop people from living according to the word of God. The wicked hate it. They really don't like it at all. They can't stand people who love like God does. That's how the wicked people are. And the devil know how to stir them up. But see, this is the thing. If we'll go ahead and do things God's way, the Lord can cause our worst enemies to be at peace with us. That's one of the most amazing things. You know how people say the seven wonders of the world? That's one of them to me. He'll make your enemies just act right. Weird. But anyway, and see, the protocols of God is better than what Satan is setting. He has to use deception. And he always did, and he always will. And everybody don't buy it. And I'm stirring people up. Hey, every child of God can do this if they choose to. Now, it's like the preacher said one time. She said, if you don't go to school, you're going to be dumb. Now, isn't that simple truth? You better do your lesson. You're going to be dumb if you don't. If you draw near to the Lord, And come to him like a child, not like a proud man. God can work with people who love him, who are humble to him. And he can give, he's giving his people that love him the best information out there. And not only can we bear light, we can bear fruit, we can let our light shine, we become the salt of the earth. Our enemies become at peace with us. Watch this. When he anoints us, the anointing is God's ability upon us. That's why they anoint with oil. They're showing publicly that this man is anointed and set apart for this work. See, I asked the Lord his definition. That's why I say it that way. It's not just smearing oil on people. I said, Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? He said, it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So everybody that God anoints, they are anointed to do supernatural things. They have God's ability and as a gift. And they're set apart to do this. Now, the anointing has a jurisdiction. If you're anointed and the Lord calls you to do a ministry in Birmingham, Alabama, and you go to Mississippi, you're out of your jurisdiction. Once he tell you where to go and when to be there, that's where your anointing is going to work right. If he allows you to do something else or tells you to do something, your anointing will work there too. So, there are many things people need education on concerning the anointing. It's not just receiving, letting the pastor rub you with oil and you just go do whatever. You have to do something. Your anointing is, once you're anointed, you have the ability, now go do what you're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to do it. Don't be like the people that that God called to the ministry, they tell the pastor, and then all they do is go to church and don't ever preach. That doesn't make sense. Lord, you call me, what am I going to do? And you have to make your calling and election sure. It doesn't matter how old or young. Now, he said the anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. And I just told you to be like little children, humble. Be humble like a child, but be mature. See, a man or a woman, that denotes maturity, not age. Not age. You can be 10 years old and be mature. Jesus was 12 asking questions at the temple. There's no limit. You know, that's up to the person how mature they are. Because if you carry the anointing, you have to. If David worshiped God as a teenager and God anointed him to be king, and then he thought like a king. He was anointed to think like a king. And while he was estranged from Saul, when he was running for his life from Saul, King Saul, he went out and drove out Canaanites out of Canaan land. He had 600 men with him, and they went out raiding people, driving people out of the land like they should have did in the Judges. Now, why? Because he was anointed to be king. And if you're anointed, you do what you're anointed to do. You don't sit down and do nothing. A lot of people are going to stand before the Lord. When I stand before him, I want to have finished my work. I want to do a good job. I think about that all the time. And look at the mind of the Lord. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that's what I wanted to share with you. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God does. But the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can they know him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. And that's the heritage of those who are sincere. They sincerely love God. Yet he himself is judged of no man. I love it. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, who did not judge by the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he judged us. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 10, now see, I went all around the world to go back to Jeremiah chapter 10. Watch what happens, folks. This is a very important chapter. Now, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. That's the stars in the second heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. Listen, watch this. This is how the world thinks. And this is how we can't afford to think. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must need to be born. They need to be, somebody got to carry them around. That's what he's saying. Because they cannot go. Then watch this. The Lord said, be not afraid of them. These are the idols that they make out of trees. You know. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, this is Jeremiah talking. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doeth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. The stock is the idols that they made out of the wood. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish. The gold of Uphaz, the work of the workman, the work of the workman and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble. The nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He that made the earth by his power, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath